Oh, he shares too much. But thank you so much for allowing me to come and be with you. I feel so privileged. And I feel like I'm with old friends. Now, I've known Valerie for quite a while, since she was one of my students, SEE class. And I loved her. And then I met Cindy. Richard, I've known since we were in seminary, or even before, for all the songs I have sung that he has written during my lifetime. I feel so ready to share them with the world, because they speak truth. But what I really came here to share with you today is the fact that you're in a transition. You've got big changes coming. And I've done a little bit of work in my lifetime in trying to look at how we make changes and how we become conscious enough of ourselves so that we can step out and do something that contributes. How many of us this morning, I'll raise my hand first, want to contribute and participate to alleviate the suffering in this world?
Sure.
Oh yeah, okay. Everybody. I know that's where your heart is. That's where my heart is. That's where the heart of this ministry is. And so I'm here to just point out a few things about how to stay conscious, how to get conscious, how to be in that realm where we say, all is well. We started off our service today singing, all is well when we get together. So when we are conscious, it seems as if we have opportunities throughout life to recognize them and celebrate them. Suppose you have a big decade birthday. You get to meet yourself again, whether it's 40, 50, 60, 70, and on. It's as if blowing out those candles give us a little reminder that, you know, we're here on this earth for a while. And let's be aware of what we're doing while we're here. So we want to remind ourselves to meet ourselves and ask ourselves certain questions. Now, I want to give you some pointers so you can be more conscious and enjoy being more conscious. The first one is to notice when you are resistant. Now, that might sound like a negative, but I want us to turn it around. Notice when you are resistant and you ask yourself, why am I resisting something different, new, or whatever is changing in my life? Someone says, come on through that class with me. And you say, no, I took a class 30 years ago and I understand all the new thought principles. Now that's an exaggeration, of course, but it's the point where we don't even consider doing something that's not part of our regular schedule. So we can step back and say, why am I resistant to doing anything that is different? Why don't I call a friend? Why don't I pick up somebody? Why don't I check on someone? Why don't I? Paint that wall. I've been wanting to paint that wall for 5 years. And you see, it's these patterns we get into that limit us, and we sit with complaints and we sit with ourselves and we just kind of grumble. But can we blame the wall? Can we blame anything? No, of course not. No one is there actively saying, don't do it, except that part of ourselves. We can call that our little lovely shadow. So I want to ask you if you have had a time when you caught yourself resisting something. Okay, you can go like that. You don't have to raise your hand. But ask yourself and be real, because what we want to do is to remember we are holding ourselves down. We are resisting our good. We're not moving forward as we want to feel the excitement of life. Rather, we're sitting on our energy, and it's just too hot to go outside, and it's too hot to cook, and it's too hot just to go anywhere. So what we're doing is not figuring out how to take a shower, find a pool, call a friend, something like that. Our job, our number one priority in life, if we understand who we are truly as spiritual beings, our number one priority is to be grounded, firmly rooted in life, and understand our nature is one of being. And that means without limitation. That means knowing I'm a powerful being. Why am I having a bad day? When I have that power to step out and just shift it, just like that. Do I remember? Not always. Does Richard remember? We remind each other. You see, that's what couples do to help one another stay conscious. Right, Richard? So what I want to read you is a quote from Eckhart Tolle. He's a wonderful spiritual master for us at this time. And he says that as the chaos, the violence, and the speed of change of our world grows, so does the pressure for many of us to maintain a sense of grounded sanity and be able to respond to the suffering in the world. So what's happening out there, the mounting angst, is something is also happening within us, but rather than it being angst and anxiety, we're transmuting, transforming, and we are making it energy that is of God mind, where we can come out and we can bring ourselves into situations and minimize the hurt, the pain, and support the lives of others. So let's talk more about staying rooted and being conscious. Would you say that, given all the issues that we have today, that the world doesn't have a chance to recover? Now, you don't answer, please, because I want you to consider carefully what I'm saying. Just what is your mindset? What are you thinking right now about, let's see, we've got these huge environmental issues, systemic racism, we have economic issues. Our children are having difficulty getting their education and sequences. We have issues. And if we look at them as being insurmountable, then what have we done? We've succumbed to the ways of the world. Rather than saying, wait a minute, it is my nature. It is my nature to respond to a catalyst. I know how to stand. I know how to rise up. I do. Nobody has to tell me. I get it inside me deeply. It's time to take some action. That's our fifth principle, isn't it? And we have these wonderful teachers that have shown us how to prosper in difficult times. But you and I are facing, just COVID alone, has been quite a challenge for us. Shifted our whole way of doing things and being with one another. So staying conscious means conscious of what we can do, not conscious of how bad it is. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, that's how we operate with our thinking. We take it and we don't just accept what is wrong in the world or we perceive to be wrong in the world. We do not. We know how to reach out and move that energy when we remember to be grounded in spirit. When we remember who we are, oh, I remember I'm a powerful spiritual being. Really? I don't feel so powerful. I can't even keep my Amazon account straight. It's those little things just trying to run through my head. What is it I have some difficulty with? Uploading some of my computer programs, obviously. Anyway, our job is to self-observe. Notice ourselves. Notice what we're thinking, what we're saying. Charles Fillmore, our co-founder of Unity, said, "You and I are responsible for every word we say. Every word we say, every thought we think." And how that plays out is the results of our lives, what we manifest, how well we're doing in life. We see we're not satisfied with our lives. What are we thinking? What can we do to shift it, to get that energy moving again? And that energy is of God, and we will not take accept anything less. We will not think in terms of victimhood, where we believe things are happening to us, and self-pity, and oh my, again, here it's happening, and be so down on ourselves. I spent years doing that. What did it give me? Well, it gave me a perspective that doesn't work. and hence, when I went into social work and I went into ministry and then into spiritual direction, I was looking for guidance. Really, how do we live our lives so we don't fall into that pit of self-pity and blame and just give up? When you and I are fully conscious, we can observe ourselves when we go into that pity place. We can stay there, work it out, but we do not want to live there. Do we? No. And so however we perceive our path, whether or not we think we've done it well, or we think we've had more failures than successes, our job is just to say, I've learned well from every experience I've had. Thank you, God. I've learned well what not to do, what to do. And so in this change that you guys are in, I'm going to say that this is where you are. You're going to be able to step back and say, yes, we miss our beloved Paula and all the others who have been here nurturing this congregation. But when you say, well, I'm going to step forward, I'm going to be a stakeholder. I'm going to be a real stakeholder so much that I'm going to be holding this congregation, this transitional minister, this music team, these prayer chaplains, the youth program, all my audiovisual people, I'm holding everyone in prayer because you are powerfully holding the life of this ministry together. And so when you attract the new minister. That'll be wonderful. But you will already be firmly rooted. You will already know who you are. And if you haven't figured it out, talk to somebody. Because this ministry is alive. I want you to know that. You're wonderfully alive. Because of that, each one of you as a stakeholder can find something to do. Find a little something. Share a little something with another. So everyone in this congregation has a purpose. We teach that to our children in the youth program, in Unity. And so why not, as adults, say, oh yes, perhaps I can contribute. What might it be? It's up to you. But that's how we become conscious, because we're really holding that light that I can do this and more. I really can. And if my schedule, if I'm resistant, remember? We remember that wakes us up to be conscious, and we can then say, I think I do want to do more. Who do I talk with? Who do I sit down with and just look at myself? Now, Richard mentioned family systems. I want to quickly tell you that I went into a master's program at VCU in clinical social work, specializing in Bowen's family system. Murray Boyne Bowen, back in the 1950s, was a psychiatrist, and he said all families, units that live together closely, have the same 8 behaviors. And it's we see them in all walks of life. And we can examine them, and we can see the amount of discomfort or comfort or growth or not growth. We can see how they stick together and how it's difficult to differentiate and break out of the same patterns that your family established. How accepting are they of you, of your decisions? So I'm going to provide the next 3 Wednesday nights to just dig into it, and we'll look at some examples and share a few things, because family systems is also relating to a church family system. And so how we operate or operated as a child, how we operate in our current lives, and then bring it into the church is very interesting. So we act and react thinking the other person's doing something to us, but really they're not. They're just being themselves. Whatever's happening is happening within us. We feel deeply, and we share that with one another. But when we can sit and talk and just put it out there and look at it, it just becomes so easy to make those inner changes. So I invite you to join us on Wednesday nights. Now, when we think about being conscious, I want to say one thing. When you, our children, I have this fondness for our children, and I used to think we needed to do something profound with them, but studies are showing us that we may think just taking a child out for lunch, or taking a child out to the park, or taking a child out to get a pair of shoes is a superficial thing and not very meaningful, but I guarantee you it is meaningful. It's creating a sense of, I'm worthy, I really appreciate this, I learned some gratitude, give and receive love, so many wonderful ways of growing and knowing, and that child knowing there is something within me that the others see about me. Not that I'm more special, but I'm good enough. And we have that message that our children don't feel deserving or worthy. And what we can do is break through that with just a little lunch out. They don't have to do anything to deserve our time or attention. You know, Marianne Williamson has, I'm sure you've seen her at some point or read a book about her, but she says we just block our good and we block our light, and we were born to shine. Our children are born to shine. We were born to make manifest the glory of God within us, and we are able to do that in a spiritual setting primarily that gives us opportunity. Sunday after Sunday, or online in a class, or somewhere, a child wakes up and knows that somebody cares. Now, one last thing. I want to talk about the relationships that Richard also mentioned. I was confused about marriage. I thought that we were getting second marriage for both of us. I thought we were going to commit to how we were living our lives and do it on a spiritual plane. That's all. Richard says he didn't understand that. And he was right, because he was still going into Methodist churches, other denominations, and I was not. And I was going to walk in the garden, do a walk as recommended by Thich Nhat Hanh, or do some yoga, or something outside of a church setting that I considered spiritual. So it took years before Richard understood about these other ways to become conscious rather than coming to church on a Sunday morning. And I have to tell you, I fell in love with him when he had red hair, big black glasses, and was the skinniest guy on the basketball court. And honestly, you know, being with someone throughout their lifetime is a real treat. So I'm sure you have your special memories as well. But here's what I wanted to share about relationships. We're not here to make each other happy. Richard and I are not married to make each other happy. We're here to make each other conscious. What are we doing? What is this relationship all about? What decisions need to be made that we can make together? Why did we not know that to go in that direction? So if somebody is bringing out the mad in you, really, really pushing some of your buttons, be glad. Drop down on your knees and say, thank you, God, because you're finally doing the work. And you're not glossing over, and you're not just pretending you're in a relationship. You understand what I'm saying? It takes real work. Dig in and become conscious. So if you're jealous of your spouse as to their profession or their education or this or that, or you're defensive when asked the question, or you feel emotional pain of any kind, whatever it is, that becomes your spiritual practice. That's what you sit with in the morning when you first get up and have that little sip of coffee and you say, oh my gosh, I've got to think about da-da-da. And you hold it in the light so that it doesn't become something you resent. Rather, it becomes something that you embrace. And you say, it came up. What is it? What is it? It's not about him. It's not about me particularly. There's something gnawing at me. And that's when you journal, that's when you read, and that's when you pray. So All in all, we do what's called a spiritual evolution as we step back and look at ourselves. Perhaps we were at one point seeing the world through the eyes of a victim. The world's doing terrible things to me and terrible things to one another and so on. And we realize, oh, I can shift that. I can actually create something different. Or we saw the world through the eyes of being a rescuer. Oh, I really need to help that person. They can't do it on their own. And it comes from a place of almost ego fulfilling to step out and support someone rather than coaching them to really, they've got tools. What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? What can I do to support you? You see how that shifts and empowers? So this dynamic principle of shifting and transforming is real. And we get it, and it's just that quick that it can happen. And the last one is when we're in the role of a perpetrator and we're telling someone what they should do and we're all self-righteous in their face, we can step back and say, that's harmful. I'm going to stop that. I'm going to instead challenge them to do something different. That didn't work last time. And you see, we move into a place where we can be heard. The other person can't hear us if we're just telling them what to do. Again, in these close relationships, in these families, this is how we learn these dynamics. And in a spiritual setting, we can unlearn and relearn. Always going to that place where the glory of God is to be manifested in each one of us. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. And that's what Mary Ann says. No shrinking. You're meant to shine. So, I have a couple more stories. I'll save them for our Wednesday night. I just wanted to be with you, to encourage you to look into any fear, examine any insecurity, such as, oh, I don't know if I could do that. And we're constantly running up against these fears, and when we finally check in, we hate ourselves when we do that. Shifting again, self-love that leads us away from defeating talks, behaviors, obsessions, addictions, the fear of what others will say. You just need to move in consciousness to finding that place of being present with others. Just standing by the door and saying good morning to someone is a very beautiful spiritual moment. When we look into their eyes and we just are with them and they with us. Can we do more of that? Can we be the Christ in expression with or without the so-called senior minister? Sure. Absolutely, but we have to become conscious. So I'm going to close with this. When we think about our five principles, we can read them all and we can go into a lengthy discussion about them. But I like to simplify things. And so I'm saying that when we shorten them, we can say, God is. I am. I think it, I pray it, I live it. You understand? You're following me? Those of you who have studied the five principles know they're deeply important for us to grasp, and yet very simple in nature. God is. I am. I think it, law of mind action. I pray it knowing that I'm coming from that place of affirmative prayer. I just pray it, see it done. And I live it, and I live it out. I live it large, best I can. Being an introvert, I kind of fumble and stumble around that one a little bit. But I do think that we can all heal. Every one of us can heal into being the person that can make a difference. There was a Indian poet in the 15th century named Kabir, a Hindu mystic, and he said this: why run around sprinkling holy water when there's an ocean inside you, and when you're ready, you'll drink? So we're going to go into a little meditation now. We're going to take some of these thoughts with us. Let's just be together, be close together, become conscious of this group, this wonderful, beloved community that is blessing so many. How do I become conscious? How do I alleviate suffering in the world? How do I? What is mine to do? So I invite us to go into a moment of discernment, and let's just hang out there for a moment and see what the Holy Presence says to us. Take a moment to notice your body. Are you totally aware of yourself sitting on that chair? Are you alert to listening to spirit? Are you willing to listen more? Do you want to participate in a greater way in your world, whatever that might be? And so allowing these thoughts to bubble up and come to us, we recognize, yes, I can be a light in this world, and I can drink from that ocean when I'm ready. So come back to this space and this time, knowing Spirit is going to flow through you, through this congregation, through the minister that's coming here to serve you, and through each one of you as powerful spiritual beings. Thank you for letting me be here today.
Spirit, show through me as I open. open up to be an expression of love.